I'm Ben Jordan.
I'm Steve Nealis.
And we're the Wild Boys, and you're live and in color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gents. Once again, Live in Color, Wolfie D. And today, we are talking some old school, man. Some old school 90s Middle Tennessee outlaw wrestling, man. Where I got my start talking about some of these towns, Jimmy. Where Airwolf was born and PG-13 was born. We got the Wild Boys, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely. On today, it should be pretty fun, a little different from our normal, but we're going to go back to the roots, man.
I love it. I love these guys. I think this is going to be a great interview. You know, Ben Jordan's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. Steve's a great guy. I've only been in the locker room with him a few times, but contact through, you know, texting here recently. Man, they're just great dudes. And you know what? I'm just so happy. Like you said, we're going to the roots here on this one. And hey, that's the way it should be sometimes, man. If you, and let me just say this to the listener here, because listener, trust us, okay? Friendly listener, trust us for your entertainment. We're doing something good here. These guys, seriously, if you look at their resumes, it's on par with anybody's. And then when they were together as a tag team, they were as good as anybody. Yeah. I mean, the only, you know, honestly, they could have been anywhere. And I personally believe that they could have worked anywhere they wanted to. And they burned up those towns. So, you know, like the USWA, there was the offshoot of the USWA, which were called the Outlaws, just like in any other state. But where there was the Memphis territory, there was the Middle Tennessee territory, honestly. And these guys were working six nights a week. You know, they're not, you know, it's just different levels of shows. But golly, man, these guys are so good. I mean, I posted a few of their videos and I'll continue to do so through the, you know, through the week here. But, you know, go look up the Wild Boys. Go look up Ben Jordan. I'm serious. Yeah. Y'all will love them.
Yeah, man, they did some good stuff. And as far as, you know, the independent shows, I mean, they were packing them in those towns once a week.
Yeah,
you know? That's another thing that people don't realize, man. That's not easy to do the same town once a week. Obviously, today, that's very hard.
Right.
But then, even then, it was still kind of hard, you know.
Yeah.
But they were doing it, man. So you got to give them props for that.
Absolutely. Look up the Wild Boys and the Devils. If you do that, you'll be fully entertained. We promise. But seriously,
a lot of blood. A lot of violence.
Yes. But great, you know, just great wrestling. So
you know what I liked about that, man, is Mephisto and Dante, even with their hoods on, they would bleed. I always thought that was a cool visual when the mask guy would bleed, you know. But it's with the white one side of the mask so you could see the blood. And, you know, that was always different.
Oh, dude, totally. And so Dante, apparently, they ripped so many masks, you know, because they would do the whole gimmick of ripping the mask off every night, the baby would. Yeah. And he got to where he made their masks. Mm-hmm. And their whole gear, he would make all their gear because it got to the point that it was so expensive to continue to buy masks.
Right.
He just started making them.
Yeah, I think Tommy, he made my Airwolf mask, my first
one. Did he? That's awesome. So Tommy Heggie, Cool Breeze, Arvel Hutto, we love those guys. Hopefully we'll be having them on the show on down the road pretty soon. But when it comes down to it, today we got the Wild Boys. But today, y'all, is a very special episode.
Y'all.
is a very special episode. It's our 100th episode.
You kept me for 100 episodes.
How did I do it? I don't know. Man. Some say that, you know.
The impossible.
I don't know. You came along pretty easily. It wasn't hard. I knew I had to drag you out of some, you know, moods sometimes, but you always came through. So I just got to thank you, brother, for sticking with me through these 100. And, you know, man, I think we've had a blast. I want to kind of address some things near the end, but anyway, 100 episodes, brother. I'm just stoked about this. And hopefully there'll be 100 more, you know, we'll see, you know.
We'll try that one. Don't get too excited here.
let's maybe get 20 more. How's that? Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, yeah. So it's 100, and man, I'm ready to talk to him. What about you?
Let's get him on the line after these messages.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
Hello.
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 What's going on?
Not much, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. Thank y'all for coming on. Fellas, this is our 100th episode, so we just want to know this is an important episode for us. So thank you. I just, wow. You know.
No pressure.
No pressure, guys.
Yeah, no pressure. That's where I broke out my go-to, so.
All right. You got a goatee going, Ella. Yeah, there you go. All right.
And we're green.
Oh, you're good.
I've been binge listening to all the podcasts and everything. And I'm like, I remember that. And I remember that.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Jimmy works hard at this, man. I really don't do shit. I just kind of try to get people together and make suggestions. Jimmy does the rest.
Yeah, but you had the 30-year career and the name and, all that. So it works out.
All right, folks. As promised, today we're going to be talking some Middle Tennessee Southern Outlaw wrestling. There's going to be a lot of that talked about today, as well as some WWF and I think some global, if I'm not mistaken. But today we got Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, the Wild Boys. Guys, it's been a long time since I've spoke to you or seen you. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Wolfie, we're doing great. Jimmy, it's good to hear from you guys. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be on your show and really look forward to having a good time, you know?
Honor's all ours, for sure.
Man. Steve, how are you, buddy?
Man, doing good. Just living it up, enjoying the not having to hit the road every night, you know?
where are you guys at still? Are you still in like Ashland City or Dixon or something like that?
Yeah, we've both been in the same place for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what I thought, man. So let's talk wrestling, of course. Ben, if I remember correctly, I think you and I met probably around 1990 or 1991, I would imagine. Go ahead.
I remember a young Airwolf. And I didn't put you and Pete together at first. This guy and this guy, I didn't put it together at first. And then I realized, the relationship there. And I tell you what, Wolfie, I've got an old picture from the Municipal Auditorium, WCW match. It was before we were both in the business. And I got a picture, and your mom and Pete are in the background of my picture.
Well, wow. Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Like, that's wild. But one of the memories I have, Wolfie, is we were in Hartsville, Tennessee. You were early on Airwolf with the mask.
Yeah.
I was teamed with Jamie Dundee.
Right.
Because I thought about this later. I'm like, look, I was in there with PG-13 way before PG-13.
That's awesome.
But it was
and Chris Airwolf. Michaels was there too.
Yes, it was Airwolf. And you were teamed with the Silver Star Kid, which was trained by Bill also. And it was funny because the announcer just he announced me and Jamie as Ben Gordon and Jimmy Dundee.
Is that a Dale Mann show?
I can't remember who run that show in Hartsville.
I
do remember in the back, though, all the guys back there, you know, were trying to impress us, impress you, Jamie, me. And they were beating themselves in the head with chairs, like, watch this, man, watch this. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, where do these guys come from?
Funny.
That's early on.
And we didn't even, we had no reason to try to be impressed. You know what I mean?
No.
Maybe just because his last name was Dundee and they probably knew you. They really didn't know no airwolf like that.
Awesome. I still got that match on videotape. Wow.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier, and you mentioned Pete, my stepdad, the Scorpion, and my mom. And it's funny, man, because I really, this just dawned on me, honestly, like a few minutes ago before we came on here. Like my first wrestling match, I drove to the town, not with the boys, but with my parents.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? That's a little awkward.
I can imagine.
and I think he was a heel and I was a baby face. So they had to put me out of the car blocks around the building. It's like your parents dropping you off at school and you're embarrassed and you don't want nobody to see it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's funny.
And Wolfie, you probably don't know this, but before Pete and your mom passed away, we went to see them at the nursing home.
And
we got there and we saw your mom and Pete wasn't there. And where's Pete? Pete was at the hospital. Yeah. And I think it was me and Steve and Boogie, Gary. We visited with your mom, and then we went over and visited with Pete, and we laughed and told stories. It was one of the funnest times, and I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, that's very cool. You were always, both you guys were always real, real cool to my parents, and I think they thought a lot of you, man, so I appreciate that. So let's go back. Ben and Steve, I want to get you in the conversation, too, because I don't know the answer to this question. I think I do. But, like, Ben, I know Bill broke you in. Steve, who broke you in?
Ben did.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Well, that was easy enough.
I can tell you a story about my training when y'all are ready for it.
Please.
Okay, yeah. Go for it. Go for it.
All right. Well, I can tell you when back when I was wanting to train, you know what I mean? I was going to watch Ben at the fairgrounds, and I kept saying, Ben, I want you to train me. And he never would. And finally, I didn't give up. He said, all right, I'm going to train you. But his mindset was, and Wolf, you know this, back in the old days, you protected the business. You didn't let nobody in this business.
Right.
And he, mind you, killed me during training. When I say that, he beat the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I stuck it through. And when I finally stuck it through, he said, okay, now I'm going to train him how to work. You know, so it was not an easy training. I can promise you that. He didn't give me no easy way. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure he was trained right once I decided to train him because I was trying to run his ass off.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Yeah.
He toughed it out, you know, and so finally I was like, okay, I'm
going to
train you. So,
Man. And I know that situation. I've tried that before, too. I'll tell you, a kid that kept coming back, man, I don't know if you remember old Cat Taylor. I tried to run him off. I literally tried to run him off for so long, and he kept coming back, bless his heart. And he ended up, you know, I told him, I said, you're not going to probably be a wrestler, even though that's what he really wanted to do. And I know he did it some, but I was like, You got to be a manager, bro.
he was a hell of a manager, but you know he turned into a pretty good little worker, and he got his little body in shape. You know.
Yeah, but he had height and size against him. You know.
I know that. I've lived that.
No, stop it! You were always in great shape. Hey, I said earlier you wrestled in Texas for Global, did you not?
Yes.
Okay, and you were there like when Sean was there and Jerry Lynn and you guys were, talk about that those times, man.
Okay, yeah, I remember going down. You know, it was good. I had plenty of good road trips, you know. Of course, I rode with, like, Barry Horowitz and Tom Burton, Tom Davis at the time, and got to ride with Eddie Gilbert and Doug Gilbert, you know. And so I just got, and even USWA, got a lot of good road time with a lot of the senior guys, you know, and learned a lot.
Yeah.
But in global, you know, I got to work, like, Jerry Lynn. We had like, a 10-minute TV match. And I'm like, you know, that's TV time. That's a lifetime in the ring.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, Joe's an excellent worker. I was blowed up. He acted like, you know, it was a day off for him, but I was blowed up. And then working with Sean, you know, we had one hell of a match in there. And when the show was airing, you know, which shows later, Jamie called me. Jamie and Ronnie, they was probably sitting around. Well, they was sitting around watching TV. But anyway, they called and man, are you fixing to win the light heavyweight right here? Are you fixing to go over in this match? And, you know, of course, I had to tell him, no, I'm not going over, but it was a hell of a match.
That's awesome. Yeah. It is. You know, on YouTube.
Which eventually, you know, Eddie told me, he said, we're going to do a slow push. You know, slow push means we still got to put other guys over. We're going to let you get
right.
A little bit. And finally, you know, they did the deal with me and Barry Horowitz, and we had a little series there. And, of course, I got the belt off of him one time. And so that's my big claim to fame is the Global Light Heavyweight Championship, you know. So
that's awesome.
That's a good title to have your name attached to, you know what I'm saying?
You know, Google search it. It's in the books or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it sure is.
Nobody can take that away from you.
So, all right, talk about y'all getting together. Steve, start us off here. Tell us, now, you obviously being trained, you tried to run you off and stuff. At what point did you guys decide to say, okay, man, let's do a little tag team here and create the Wild Boys?
Yeah, well, the whole plan was when he got done training, you know, shoot me off and let me do my singles. I'd make my own way, and he was already established in the business. So, and I kept on him. I'm like, man, let's be a team. And
what year was that? 92.
He said, if you want to do that, we give this a shot. He already had the name picked out.
Nice.
Not necessarily for me and him, but if he ever done it, like, it's the name I'd want to be.
Yeah.
And then we also knew, that's when Billy started going to Japan. So Billy and Gary wasn't together anymore. We wanted that spot with Mephisto and Dante. And he said, if we're going to do this, that's where we're going, and that's what we're going to shoot for. And and it's just kind of started from there. Halloween night, 1992, was our first Wild Boy debut.
That's awesome.
And, man,
the Grand Slam.
The Grand Building, man. And, you know, infamous around the Nashville, you know, independent scene, all those towns, man, you guys, you really got over, man. And you know, at the some of those buildings, man, those people are so passionate and it's so fun, man. And y'all got to like Columbia, Shelbyville, Lewisburg, all those. And y'all had a good hot angle going, and the way the people would believe, you know, so much more in those type of towns and in those days, man, y'all had them rocking and rolling. I mean, talk about that. That was a good time for you guys.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was great. And you're right. We was over, you know, pretty good that one time. But I mean, as y'all well know, a face is nothing without a great heel. And in my personal opinion, we was working with the greatest heels there was, which is
absolutely, absolutely,
Cool Breeze, and then, you know, Rick Reynolds came in as Damien, and then, for, you know, I mean, we had that feud went on for 10 plus years, you know.
Drawing an angle out, right?
Jeff Daniels even said one time, he goes, how many times are we going to have this match? It's been 10,000 times. So we go out and do our match, and man, they had so much heat, and the people were out of their seats and on their feet. And we come back, he goes, well, I guess we'll do it 10,001 because it's working. But it was all the mastermind of Tommy Higgy, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, he's great.
So Tommy pretty much booked all that during that time frame. And see, it's crazy because, like, the time frame y'all are doing that, I'm having a Memphis run, so I'm not really there except for, like, every once in a while I come in. I never really got to work you guys or anything like that. So, you know, I just come in every once in a while. But I knew, man, they got it rocking and rolling here.
You know, and Wolfie, you know, we were hot, and we're like you and everybody else that come through, we wanted that Memphis shot. We wanted to go, you know, run the circuit, you know.
Yeah.
We're thinking if we could have got a good hot angle and got a push at Memphis, that would have been – that was the ultimate right there to us. And me with WWF, right. I wasn't worried about none of that. Memphis, you know, I grew up like you did watching Memphis TV, and that's all – you know, I just wanted to get there. You know, I'd already been there before the tag thing, but the dream was to get the tag team there and have a good run at Memphis. And, you know, but – And you guys, y'all did a hell of a job. Y'all got to do it, you know, before the territory went out. Y'all got to do what I dreamed to do.
It was fun, man. But also, like, some of my best memories, like I said, are some of those outlaw towns and the way that they would get with stuff. And there's nothing more fun than the fans, like, really being believing the shit that's going on, or at least acting like they do, as opposed to a lot of the newer crowds that want to applaud a nice spot or whatever. You know, I know things change, and I'm not knocking that. I mean, whatever. You know, that's just not what I signed up for. But I just love that believability. And in those towns, man, I have fond memories of people really getting into shit, you know.
We had some of the best towns. You were there, Wolfie. I was there, Steve. We were there when the times were good in independent wrestling. And the Tennessee towns were some of the best. I mean, you know, we'd be up in Kentucky sometimes, Central City, Beaver Dam. Matter of fact, you and Jamie rode with me and Steve a time or two up there to one of those.
And
I remember coming back, and we had to stop at the gas station because Jamie wanted to buy the scratch offs. And he had his theory of, you know, like every so many you get the big winner, and he was gonna buy the whole roll, you know.
Yeah,
the payoff and buy the whole roll.
I remember that store. It was Orange Lights. I just remember that visual. It was up on the hill on the left, I think, wasn't it? But anyway, and I think that was the first time in my life I ever bought a scratch-off ticket, and I won. But I never really – I'm not a gambler. And I never really bought scratch-offs after that. But I won the first one just because he kind of was like, yeah, man, you just you win some money. I was young and influential. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, man. So, you know, obviously, you know, you guys were some of my favorite tag teams, Dante and Mephisto, for sure. I absolutely think the world of Tommy Hagee, Arvel Hutto as well. He's a great man. I unfortunately don't know Cool Breeze, but hopefully we're going to get that figured out here pretty soon. Now, another tag team that I've heard was a crazy story, and I need to hear about this, working the Moondogs in Clarksville. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't remember working them as much in Clarksville as I do in Nashville for Terry Rice. And I think he was booking the show.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I worked both the two Moondogs I knew, or three. We worked with Larry Raven and Tracy Wynn at Power Slam for Terry Rice.
Okay.
And then Nathan come in and we worked him. That's when the big bloody, I think I sent a picture. The big bloody one. And we worked. Nathan came in to be with Larry Latham at the Power Slam show. And, you know, it's funny because you look at them, and I grew up watching them. So I'm like scared to death.
And
I'm going to tell you, some of the nicest guys and had some of the best matches. And like y'all were saying, making the people believe. You know, we would just sacrifice our heads, our bodies, everything, just so we could get that belief out of the crowd.
Now, so, this was specifically about a ring that twisted and collapsed.
That was in, if I'm not mistaken, in Montgomery Central.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry about that.
Montgomery Central, which is right outside of Clarksville. It's in Montgomery County.
And okay.
Yeah, that was Eric's ring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we weren't supposed to damage the, you know, the gym floor sacred, you know.
Right.
You've got to talk the school into letting you do this, and then you promise you're not going to mess up the gym floor.
Right.
Of course, the ring collapsed. We're working the Moondog and trying to run across the ring, and it's sagging down to the floor. That's the part I remember of it. We finished the match. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to put out a disclaimer. there's a lot of things I don't remember because I have been the recipient of several of Rick Reynolds' chair shots. Just saying, putting it out there.
Just saying.
Yeah. That's funny.
You got any memories of that?
Don't really remember that night in particular. I do remember that. If I'm mistaken, I want to say we gouged the gym floor a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why the school was mad.
Oh, I bet.
We had one of the biggest runs we had the Moondogs, though, was around the Columbia area. And that was actually, I want to say it was Nathan. And I want to say it was Lee Hickerson. They brought Lee Hickerson in as a Moondog.
That was later.
Of course, dyed his hair blonde and all that.
Uh-huh.
And Richard Lee come in on some of that. I don't remember if it was there or if it was at the Clarksville show or the Terry Rice show on Dixon Road. But Richard Lee, he come in and did some stuff with us, with him as well.
Okay.
I have had a shit ton of people ask me if I knew where Richard Lee was.
Seriously?
Yeah. Year or so. I have no clue. I used to know he lived in Nashville, but I don't know after that. It's been a long time.
Last time I seen him was at a TJ show in Millersville, and that's been several years, but that's the last time I seen him. And he was just in the back. He didn't do anything. He just came to the back.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got to ask now. This is a two-part question. And Ben, you go first because now you've worked so many people: Steve Kern, LOD, Sean Waltman, Jerry Lynn, Eddie Gilbert, Ivan Koloff, Bob Holly. You know, I mean, the Heavenly Bodies, Money Incorporated, Ted DiBiase. You know, Paul Orndorff, Rick Rude.
Say that.
Yeah, Paul Orndorff, Rick Rude, Bam Bam Bigelow, Owen Hart, and I stop right here. I need to hear about your match with Randy Savage. And then after that, I need to hear about Steve's match with Ming.
Okay, Jimmy, it's a funny thing because I went back and researched this match of mine with Randy Savage. Because, I mean, I've took a lot of chair shots, and I don't remember a lot of things.
Sure.
Yeah. I do remember one thing. I've never wrestled Randy Savage.
Really?
And they got it in there. I've seen it where they said I wrestled him. That's one of my losses, one of my many, many losses. And they show this guy wrestling, and that's supposed to be me, and it's not me.
It's not
really?
You.
Really?
Wow.
So that's my big memory of wrestling Randy Savage. It was Jesse Ventura I'm thinking of when I wrestled Rick Rude, and when I attacked Rick Rude, you know, because that's what I was supposed to do, you know, Jesse Ventura, and I'm thinking this guy was, you know, a governor and everything, you know.
Sure.
Wrestlers. And he goes, all Ben Jordan's done is just pissed Rick Rude off.
Well, I'll tell you what. Ben Jordan, you know, figured he might catch ravishing Rick Rude off guard. He came in with a series of forearms. Rude just shrugged him off. And all he did now was serve to get ravishing Rick Rude very, very angry.
That's I'm like, awesome. Yes, very much.
Yeah,
that's my memory of Randy Savage.
No. That's awesome memory.
So do you know who it actually is?
I don't know. It was... I should have wrote the name down so I could
If you don't know, I'm sure somebody will look it up now that's listening.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I think he was older and a little more bald than I was at the time.
So. Okay. Well, that's not cool.
Right.
I'm like, that don't look like me.
Is that George South? What's the deal, man? Okay. Well, Steve, then, did you actually wrestle Ming?
If you want to call it that, but yes, I was.
It was you, right?
Yeah, it was me. We showed up, and they told me to go over and get with Ming. You know, it was he'd been like a bodyguard this whole time, and I was his first actual match, and as Ming.
Oh Lord!
And he come over, man. He said, "Look, this is what they want to do. They're trying to build me up, blah blah blah." And I said, "Dude, I said I know how to work, man. I'll take any bump you want to do, whatever." He sets up this. Dude, I'm going to take a big backdrop, and I'm going to hit you with a super kick. I'm like, man, that's great. No problem. I said, whatever you want to do, man. I said, you're the star. I'm just here to make you look good. So about 30 minutes later, he walks over, and he goes, hey, man, they changed it. He said, don't even take your jacket off. We're going to go to shake, or you're going to go to shake my hand. I'm just going to kick you. I said, well, that's fine with me, dude.
You're on WCW Saturday night. There is Steve Neely, at least the back of Steve Neely. Better keep the coat on so they know where to send the rest of you.
That's probably right.
You know, he's wrestled before Ming. There's no doubt about that. It's been a while since he's been in the ring. Colonel says he wanted him ready. He wanted him just right. Well, he's obviously got him just right.
Well, we do understand he is a martial arts expert.
Yes, he is. Former sumo. And he used to be a wrecking ball on a construction site.
Look at the size of him. First time. Whoa! Oh, my goodness!
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this.
A savate kick! And Neely's out!
What took you so long? Neely's tougher than I thought.
That's the best thing that could have happened to Neely.
That's the only thing that could have happened to Neely.
Hey, I need to take my jacket off. That was a good payday for about 10 seconds of work, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was that story. That's about, hell, my little, what I just said right there lasted longer than the match did.
Wow. That's you're getting paid the same thing, right? So why not?
Absolutely. It didn't matter if it was 10 seconds or 30 minutes, man. The payday was the same, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, and hey, it was Ming, for God's sake. You know?
Seriously.
I've known one of the toughest wrestlers ever to be a wrestler. You know,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, man. Okay. Well, how about this, Ben? What about working LOD?
Oh, man. It was me and Barry Horowitz, and we were either in Fort Wayne, Indiana, or somewhere in Dayton, Ohio. I think it was the Dayton, Ohio show. And of course, now check this out. I go to WWF. I'm 5'7". Now the magazines will say I'm 6 foot, and I thank them for that, but I'm not. I'm 5'7". And you know, I'm in the dressing room when I first go up to WWF. I'm telling you, if you ever saw, you know, Land of the Giants,
right?
I'm walking around just looking up at everybody. These men are ungodly. They are just huge. All right, so we're standing in the back, and Tony Garea is coming around. He's sizing us, all of us, enhancement talent, jobber, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so we're in the back, and Tony Garea sizes us up and down. He comes to me, and he goes, "Do you know LOD's finish?" Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't a WWF fan. I was a WCW Memphis wrestling type person.
Sure.
And so I haven't been watching what they were doing. And I just, you know, stupidly said, "Yeah, I know they're finished." And he goes, okay. So he puts me and Barry Horowitz in with LOD. And I'm thinking, what do they do? I'm going to take this finish. And somebody finally says, the one, you know, they'll shoot you in, do whatever, put you up on the shoulders, and he's going to clothesline you off the top, you know, off his shoulders. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. You know, so they never talked to us. And I went up to I'm trying to think, Hawk or Adam. I went up to one of them, and I'm like, "Hey, how does this thing kind of go? He's like, "Don't worry, brother. He's like, "You'll flip fine." He said, "I'll push your ankles. You'll go over. Don't worry about that."
So that was Animal. Yeah.
I didn't have any doubt. I just went with it. It was great. And the good thing, I always wear shorts or tights or long tights. And they told me, Tony Greer said, "You got to wear trunks." And I was scared to death to wear trunks in the rain. So I put on a pair of green trunks I bought from Barry. And I went in. And if you watch the TV or you'll watch the film of it, I don't look as short to them from the camera angle.
Really?
So I mean, it didn't look like a little bitty guy and these great big guys, which they are still huge over everybody. But I didn't look so short.
That's good, and yeah.
So they do the finish, you know, and this, that, and the other, and we did the match, whatever. It wasn't much to it. But anyway, let me go back. When you're standing there and you got the whole arena full, and they play that, "Ooh, what a rush." You just get cold chills, you know, on the bells and everything. This is when they were still coming out of the corner. You know, they didn't have the big stage and all that.
Right.
But
yeah.
Anyway, when I come back through the curtain at the gorilla position, Shawn Michaels is there to meet me, and he goes, "My God, brother, are you all right? I thought they just killed you." And I'm like, "Yeah, fine." But that was pretty cool.
That is cool. That is cool.
Having been the recipient of the Doomsday device quite regular, it's a funny feeling when you're up there and you're looking at Hawk coming at you, ain't it?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Because the animal wasn't super tall, but being up on his shoulders, and just because you're in the ring and you're already elevated anyway, and then on top of his shoulders, yeah, and then you're looking a Hawk way up there, it's like, fuck.
Hey, I'll give you one, not so much one better, but B, have Diesel take you up into a power bomb up over his head as tall as he is, and then the ring's up pretty high too. I'm scared to death of heights, and I'm looking down and I'm fixing to take this power bomb, you know. It's like, oh yeah. God.
Yeah. He's 7 foot, so you're probably at least another 10 feet in the air there. So wow.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Man. What?
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit 1 million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com, that's B-U-I-E, Homes.com, or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
So, okay, then this is kind of a patented question that it's become kind of funny, and it always kind of elicits a good response from the guests that we have on the show. Tell me, and I'd love to hear both your responses on this. Your first meeting, either Jamie, Wolfie, or just first meeting PG-13, and kind of give us your like first thoughts about.
I want to say it was in Shelbyville when they was PG-13 together.
Okay.
I just want to say it's Shelbyville, and all I could think was like, man, this gimmick's different. And then next thing I know, you know, like, hey, they're fixing to go to USWA. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. Because, you know, we worked them in Shelbyville. We worked them a couple of times before they actually went. And had good matches. It was great. That's my first memory was in Shelbyville. And I remember saying, wow, hey, that's a different gimmick. I ain't seen that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I think what Jimmy's more getting at is, did you think we were assholes or not? Because apparently the headbangers thought we were dickheads. Everybody in Memphis was dickheads.
And Steve, that's what we got to laugh. They're more polite, I guess, than headbangers.
Just Jamie Wolfie, you was all right. No, I'm just kidding, man. I love
and Jamie. By the way, I'm still all right, and he's still an asshole.
Well, we always got along good, man.
I know.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. I love Jamie Dale.
He's a good
guy. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Now, me, I knew both of you separately for so long before y'all were PG-13. You know, after I went to talk to Bill about training, and he told me I was too little, I took 2 years of and did powerlifting, and that's when I got huge thighs that I never thought I could build. But anyway, somehow I got to hanging out with Jamie a little bit. It was the rock and roll dream team, Jamie Dundee and Ronnie Travis. I just saw Ronnie last week.
For real.
We see each other once a year at Summerfest in Ashland City.
Okay.
And you can tell him, I can spot him from way off. He's got that wrestler walk, that slight little limp. I'm like spotting from a mile away. There's Ronnie.
Oh, man.
But anyway, one of the fond memories I had is working for J.D. Wolf, Elkton, Kentucky. I wasn't. They were. And they let me ride with them. And I was going to sell their gimmicks. And what really got me the fever is I sit there and sold their gimmicks. One thing, I had little bitty Ronnie on one side and little bitty Jamie on the other. And I was built pretty good back in the day. And people were coming up going, are you wrestling tonight? Are you wrestling? And they're looking at these two little guys. But, you know, they sold $200 worth of pictures before they ever got in the ring. And I thought, I need some of this.
So and that was probably what? That was probably at $1 or $2 a picture?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
probably about $2 a picture back then.
Yeah.
Wow. Everybody bought one, essentially.
So that got me the fever, and I really had to get in. And then after I got, after the powerlifting, I got a little, I gained 10 pounds is all I gained. But Bill saw me at the fairgrounds. He goes, when are you going to start training, kid? And I'm like, well, I'm just 175. And he goes, you look 220.
Yeah.
And he told me, he said, it's all an image, just the visual.
Yeah.
And I started training from there. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
But now the PG-13, I want to say Shelbyville. And did y'all not find the hubcap in Hayden Miller in the back somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. That's where it came from. And the spray paint that we spray painted it with.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it seems like y'all just come up in the gimmick in the back of the room back there,
Yeah, we needed a finish, and we were using a record that we said was gold, and so we'd hit people with it, like a gold solid thing was hitting them or whatever, and Chris didn't really like that, so then we found the hubcap and wore it around our neck. Yeah, that's where that happened.
Y'all, for the time, y'all's timing was perfect with the PG-13, because that's where things were going. We were modeling ourselves. We wanted to be like the Fabulous Ones,
makes sense though.
Rock and Roll Express, the Fabulous Ones. I grew up watching them, and that's when we decided to be a team. I'm like, we got to model ourselves out of them. Where times were changing when y'all came into the PG-13, which it was bad. We're kind of like on the downhill. Our era almost is like over, and y'all's is beginning.
Right,
because we were on the old schedule, we were doing the old thing, y'all were coming into the new, and that's the way times change.
But it's true. I'm sorry to cut you off, Wolfie, but the way I always describe it is, the Rock and Roll Express, they were kind of like the era of the music that they were in. And I love the musical tag team. So the Rock and Roll Express, and then you had PG-13 and the Headbangers, which I compared to the 90s, which were white kids were either listening to rap or heavy metal, even more heavy metal or punk or whatever. And so the Rock and Roll Express, like, they were kind of like the Van Halen, and then PG-13 were kind of like like the Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch or the House of Pain. And then you have the, you know what I'm saying? Or the, and then you had the Headbangers who were like Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails or something. And I just love that. Now I love the Wild Boys gimmick. I do. I think it's awesome because I do see it as a derivative of the Fabs, who honestly, the Fabs started all that, you know what I mean? So any babyface tag team that got all the high pitched screams from the crowd, you know, the girls want to be, the guys want to be them and the girls want to be with them kind of thing. You know, that's the classic tag team that started all that, in my opinion. So to kind of go off of that, you know, we're big Fabs fans here too. So,
yeah. And, you know, to go back, I was in high school. I was driving myself to the fairgrounds, and I'm the one that put plenty of those dents up there on the top row and into the wall, you know, hitting the wall, doing the chanting. But that's when Steve and Stan were doing singles. They were like first, second match. Bill would be like the third match. I think Bill would come back in the main or semi-main with somebody, but they was doing the first three matches, and they were all built up. That's what really just drove my workout. But I missed the whole Fab phenomenon in live action.
Gotcha.
And so I was in Japan in the Marines at the time. And
well, thank you for your service, man.
you're welcome. And just like Jesse James Armstrong, you know, Brian, I remember talking to Scott. I'm going all over the board. But anyway, okay. I remember working out in Smoky Mountain with Scott Armstrong, and he said, and, you know, I knew Brad and Steve, and I'm like, and their dad, and they're like, oh, no, you haven't seen our little brother yet. He's bigger than all of them. and I got to meet them all, so I'm grateful. But back to the Fab thing, I missed the whole thing, and Steve filled me in on it. And then I, you know, of course, I watched all the tapes and the videos. And, of course, when they come back to Memphis, they'd show their tapes and stuff. And then so I did some research, and I loved all of their stuff. But then I got to meet Steve in USWA, and it's funny because I met him just a month or so before he went to WWF and became Skinner. And Steve Kern is one of the nicest men to ever meet. And when I got to WWF at the time, and they put me against Skinner. And Wolfie, I want to tell you, I'm jealous of your interview with Steve Kern, because, man, I wanted to be that guy putting him over in that interview. Like,
it was amazing. It was amazing.
He's a great guy, and I loved it. And you know, he was nice enough. You know, he done the tobacco thing with the licorice.
He said,
Ben, if you don't want to do this, I understand. Do you mind? He said, the part of the gimmick is at the end of the match, I'll spit, you know, the tobacco, which is licorice, on your chest. He said, do you mind if I do that? He asked me. I'm like, I might say if you can do it or not, just do it, you know. But I was him being the person that he is, he asked me if he could do that.
Not only the person that he was, but I mean, in the position that he was in, he didn't really have to ask you either. You know what I mean?
He said they could have just said, Ben, I'm going to just spit all over you. What are you going to do about it? I'll whip your ass.
Or not told you.
Right.
Not told you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But that was great. You know, of course, I got to work Stan in the Heavenly Bodies. I got to work both Fabs, but in different times.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah.
Not as the Fabs, though. That's one thing, you know.
Yeah.
You might have wanted to be the one to interview him, but at least you got to work him. See, I never got to work him, so.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, I never got to work the rock and roll. Yeah, but I got to work him.
Yeah.
So you got one up on me on that, so.
Well, Wolfie never got to work Randy Savage, right, Wolfie? So,
yes.
But Ben didn't either. Trying to make a joke here.
There you go.
I wonder if there's somebody out there that looks like me working Randy Savage, and I'll just say I did.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, I'll tell you, there's one guy that they said looked like me, and he came to Memphis after I did. That was Scott Taylor.
When I get to WWF,
he comes up to me, said, I've always wanted to meet you, because everybody always called me you when I was in Memphis. They always called me Ben Jordan. And so I met him, so they tagged me and him against the Quebecers, and they were the heavyweight champions, and Raven was managing them.
Yeah.
And at this time,
Johnny Polo.
Yeah, and you know, you got your hierarchy in the lower guys.
Yeah,
guys like me. Yeah. But you know, you got a hierarchy. Well, I've been there a while. Coach, you had Horowitz and you had Bruno Riggins. You know, everybody's got their place. And so I built up a place to where they were beating my partner instead of me. They were giving me some shine. And so they were going to beat Scotty, not me. And so I'm like, wow, you know, I'm moving up in the world. And, and I heard Chris Michael say, you're always trying to get to that next step. And we always try to get there. And of course, then beating him. And then I look at it. I get run over by a truck. I'm out of wrestling for a year. And Scotty's got a spot.
Remember that.
Right place at the right time.
It might have been you ripping off PG-13 instead of him.
Hey, but anyway. I will guarantee you it wouldn't be me because I ain't got no rhythm. I make that,
you can't do the worm.
No, he created the worm. You would have never saw that on the
Okay, so this one, my mentor is one of my mentors, a great guy, Shane Morton. We love him. And, you know, I heard a story from him that I have to relay and find out. So apparently there was a time that he and Gary Valiant were so over at the time that you all basically nobody would believe that they could turn heel on you guys. Now, this is the BWO feud. And some said it wouldn't work because they were so over, but it worked. Talk about that a little bit. And I think there was even a glass bottle and everything.
I was just thinking about
that. When they turned, it was major heat because it was over. And obviously, you know, it's like anything. You want to do it at the right time. You don't want to wait too late. When they turned, they had some major heat. Now, obviously, they did turn on us. There was a Coke bottle involved. Next time you talk to Shane, ask him about the noose too, man, because he was choking me out, and I was trying to tap out, but I don't think he knew what tapping out meant.
Oh, man.
It was on the floor in front of the people. You know, you always snug there.
Of course,
But it was a good little feud. They definitely had some heat, that's for sure.
I got something to interject here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Morphine Jimmy, I want you to interject right in the middle of our thing. I want you to do a sponsor, and I want it to be Downtown Bruno putting the Miller Lite. That's why I'm drinking Miller Lite right now.
Cheers.
Miller
Cheers.
Lite.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I'm not going to say another word about it. Everybody can read between the lines.
Exactly.
Miller Lite. Thank you.
I'll drop that.
Was it Miller or Coors? Was it Miller?
Miller Lite.
Is it Miller? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got one right now. And when Bruno, when I saw that little clip of Bruno doing it, I'm like, damn, he stole my gimmick.
Bruno,
the Wild Boys. The Wild Boys brought to you by Miller Lite.
I got you right now. Yeah.
Anyway.
Doing this interview, man, we've talked about some names that like I haven't heard in years, honestly. And then we've also talked about, you know, my mom and Pete and Rick and Cool Breeze and the people that were close to my family as well. Talk about, because you, like you said, you guys and whichever one of you wants to talk, like, man, I just remember like, okay, so the Eliminators were beating the shit out of me and Jamie in Memphis every fucking week, right? Like, seriously. And I wanted to get out of that angle so bad. I felt like it had run its course. And I reached out to Tommy and Breeze about coming to Memphis because I wanted to get out of that. And that's why I brought them there. But Breeze is no walk in the park, and Rick's not either, because you talked about a Rick chair shot. So and they won't get mad if we talk about them, I'm sure, in a loving way. But are those not two of the stiffest pricks you ever been in the ring with?
Honestly, Rick, I don't think Rick ever was stiff with me at all. I don't remember Rick ever being stiff, but you know, Breeze was stiff, and I remember, you know, back when me and Ben first started, that Halloween night, 92, I hit the ring. And I'm, of course, you know, I'm scared to death. This is the Devils. This is like my third match, or, you know, my third time in the ring.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm intimidated watching these guys beat everybody up. And
right,
I'm sitting there, you know, I'm hitting Breeze. I'm working. The next thing I know, you got to hit me harder than that. You know, get a little harder. And he goes, come on, man, it's got to be harder than that. So, man, I let him have everything I had. You know how Breeze is. He gets that little giggle, you know.
Yeah.
I got myself into, man. Breeze was stiff, but he wouldn't hurt you. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to miss, and you believed it.
Wolfie, it's like this. What's bad is I can't talk about them being stiff because they're really going to tell on me for how stiff I am. I don't need to, but I don't have a good working punch. And so when I come in on a hot tag, every time I hit, I go, Idaho! Bam!
Idaho! I don't have a good working punch.
Everybody knows. I got a Lawler story about that. Jerry Lawler has done so much with me in Memphis, and I appreciate everything. Of course, seemed like it always come after Jimmy Valiant would give him a phone call, and Kerry Von Erich would dump a bucket of water over his head, and then I'd get my ass whipped. So that led into a Chris Champion feud with Lawler, because Chris came out to save me, and Lawler mopped the floor with both of us. The story I was getting at, we're wrestling the million dollar babies or billion dollar babies. I can't remember. Uh-huh. I think they were Mike Samples guys. But anyway, I come back through the curtain. I'd hit one of them, and we'd finish the match, whatever. And I come back through, and Lawler stopped me. He said, "Man, you got one of the weakest punches." And I'm like, "Oh God, this is the king talking." And the guy come through the curtain in a big knot coming up the side of his cheek where I popped him. And I'm like, I looked at Jerry and I said, "Not bad for a weak punch, huh?"
That is just Lawler being Lawler, and this is my opinion, and you being trained by Bill, and him throwing a jab at you. That's all that is. You know what I'm saying? That's just how he is. And we've talked about this on a few of the past few episodes of the culture of Memphis and just how it is, man. And nobody puts you over. Everybody's out to get everybody, it seems like. Nobody's going to say nothing good about your match. So that's what you do. That means he watched it. So I guess that's in Memphis terminology. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, check this out, Jimmy. We were, TV come on at a certain time, but in the fall when the basketball was going, sometimes they'd have to move the show up an hour.
Yeah.
Me and Chris Champion, we show up there at the studio, and we come in and everybody's yelling at us, "You're late, you're late, you're late." Well, they'd moved the TV up an hour. We were on time for our time.
Okay.
As I'm going in, they're like, "Lawler wants to see you in the back. I'm like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And as I walked by the monitor, it said Monday night, Mid-South Coliseum heavyweight championship match, Ben Jordan versus Jerry the King Lawler. And wow. I am greener than grass at this time. I'm like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" I go back there and I go to Lawler's dressing room, they're telling me the deal. And I get there and they got a cassette tape and it's Jerry Jarrett telling me what I'm going to say in my interview. And I'm like, "Interview? I can talk." So he's telling them, "You've trained for this all your life. This is a lifelong dream and everything." And then Lawler's telling me, a little bit about, what's going on. But I'm to do an interview with Dave Brown and they call me out. I do the interview. But what's going through my mind is I'm listening to Ricky Morton. Who else? It might have been Steve Kern. It was some of the veterans. They're talking. Yeah. We're always out there doing our interview.
Yeah.
And Lawler comes out, and they said, "It just flusters me. I get flustered. I can't do my interview." These are veterans talking about how he comes out, and it disrupts their interview.
Yeah.
So I'm having to do an interview. And I'm out there doing my little thing, and it sounds all corny when you watch it back now. And and all of a sudden, in the middle of my interview, who walks out? Jerry. So I'm thinking, if they get flustered, I can't even do an interview. How am I going to get through this? So I muddled through it. I got through it, and it led to a big deal, and we done a match. Of course, Jimmy Valiant was involved. So, the rest is history. But,
Man, we're getting close to it. We got to stick to our times here on the podcast, getting kind of close to our time. So are you guys doing anything wrestling wise? I know aren't Ben or is one of you or both of you going to the Saw thing?
No, we didn't get asked this time. We were asked.
I didn't either. And I've had Reno on my show and Tony. That's weird. But anyway.
I'm like, why not us?
That's okay, man. That's okay. They both came on my show, and once they were off my show, they both got action figures. What the fuck? They can't even give me a phone call.
So, fellas, get ready.
Bullshit, man. Some absolute bullshit, Tony Falk and Reno, if you listen.
Wild Boys anyway, action figures coming soon.
yes. So guys, man, thank you for coming on. I mean, we have barely scratched the surface with a lot of this. We can go a lot deeper, and I know both you guys got a lot more stories, and I want to hear them. I mean, if you guys want to come back for another one, in a few weeks or something, we can work that out. But thank you guys for coming on here. It's been fun going down memory lane with you. Always appreciated you again for being good to my mother and my father. And man, thanks guys. Jimmy, what else you got?
I got one more question, fellas. Can you give me the Mount, and this is not normally the question I ask on this show, although I've been doing it lately, but what is the Tennessee Mount Rushmore of tag teams?
Tag team
of Tennessee?
Yeah, of Tennessee.
You're going, okay. So we're talking Tennessee, we're talking Fairgrounds too, or we're just talking about like our independent, just Tennessee?
Absolutely, any of it, whatever you want.
I can, all right, so mine, you got a Mount Rushmore, you got Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, and there's more than four.
That's okay, you can have five.
you got the Moondogs, I remember when the Sheep Herders come through.
Yeah,
man, I know I'm leaving some out, but I mean,
there's so many.
I know I'm beating a dead horse here, man. But I'm gonna tell you, I've got to put the fist on Dante on there myself.
Love it. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
I agree. I would say here's mine. I would go with Jackie and Don Fargo.
Okay,
on that. Okay, you got the Fabulous One, the Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, which they were more North Carolina.
Of course.
Hey, you know, you got to throw PG-13 in your Mount Rushmore, right?
You don't have to. Stop it.
Sorry, Wolfie.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Well, I'm going to throw the Wild Boys in there, too. How about that? We'll get that voted.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Hey, we're getting about that old to be put up on a big rock somewhere.
So, fellas, y'all are awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Really,
this was great. This was fun, man. I mean, it just like we just got started, and I'm like, dang,
I know.
We can talk for about 5 hours. It's like they ain't got time for this.
Yeah, hey,
we'll do five shows.
Can I tell you a quick Camille story?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. All right. So that day we went down to visit her and Pete, and we walked.
Talking about, just for the people that didn't catch that, talking about my mom and my stepfather.
Yeah. And we walked in, and she looked up at us, and Boogie looked at her, and she said, "You know who this is, don't you?" She said, "Yeah, I whooped her ass a couple of times."
That's good.
She hadn't forgotten, man. She was in her right mind. She let us know, put us right back in our place.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. That's absolutely awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And that's a perfect way to end this, man. Thank you so much. Jimmy and everybody listening, and Wild Boys, you can be informed about this too. We're getting ready to take a break. And what are we coming back with, Jimmy?
Some of that Ask Wolfie Anything, fellas. It's going to be a wide open. We never know, right? So,
right. No, we get into it. I don't even know until you ask me. And unless there have been a few times, like what, twice I've cheated. And I said, man, send me the questions. But otherwise, I just let you ask them.
Yeah, so, I don't like to do that. But anyway.
I know you don't. You like my real reaction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, dudes. Thank you for coming on. And everybody will be back right after this.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Thank y'all. Ben, Steve, it means a lot. We'll do this again soon, okay?
Hey, we appreciate it. We loved it.
All right. Good deal.
Awesome, dude. Thank you.
See you, Ben.
Love y'all.
DJ, hit the music. All right. right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And first off, man, how cool was that? The Wild Boys, man. Those great stories. Steve Neely, yeah. Ben Jordan. Dude, so much fun.
Yeah. Haven't spoken to those guys in so long. It's good to talk to them and hear some things that I didn't even know. You know, the Randy Savage thing is pretty funny.
That is a hoot, man.
But yeah, good episode so far. Yeah.
So before we get into Ask Wolfie D Anything, we got a few good questions here today.
Right.
I want to thank some people here because, you know, we've been through this for 100 episodes, and obviously we've had so many great people help us out on social media by sharing their stuff. And obviously I want to thank all of our guests that have come on for these 100 episodes. Everybody that's been on, thank you so much. Hopefully, you know, get you back on sometime. And man, we just thank y'all so much for coming on and sharing your stories with us. But there's some listeners that I want to thank that are very important to us. And again, if I leave anybody out, it's not personal. It's just what I've seen recently as far as the shares. But guys like Robert Keller, I want to thank Bradley Crusell. I want to thank Ken Cantrell. I want to thank Sean Sinkhorn. I want to thank Freddie Adams. I want to thank so many guys on Facebook. Y'all share all the time. Always comment, but those are some of the names that I see very regularly. Of course, all the fellas on Twitter, guys like Eddie Austin, Ben Martin, Macaronin, Wayne G, John Mark Saul, NWA Wrestling Fan, just so many others that just are so good to us by sharing the stuff. And y'all, that means so much. When, you know, you can comment and it's great that you comment, but man, when you step further and do that share for us, y'all, it really, you don't know how good that makes us feel, seriously.
Yeah, it's nice that y'all are trying to help us out. It's basically what that is. A comment's one thing, but a share says, hey, more people need to see this.
Yeah I'm stepping out, I'm showing off the podcast that I listen to,
right.
And it sincerely means the world. And you don't know how much, you know, this is not something that we do. It's not necessarily, I hope we make it seem easy, but it's not always easy. You know, from the figuring out the episode topic to getting a guest to, you know, doing the show and taking time to do the show and, you know, figuring out Wolfie's schedule, my schedule, the guest schedule. We've talked about that before. It's not always simple. And, you know, then actually editing the show, producing the show, putting the show out, promoting the show, you know, it's a lot, y'all. And we love it. Don't get me wrong. We wouldn't do it if we didn't love it. But at the same time, you know, to know that y'all help us promote that means the world. And I'm serious. I'm absolutely indebted to all of you. And if you've ever shared it, if you've ever commented, if you've ever told one person about our show, from the depths of my heart, I thank you. And I know Wolfie thanks you too.
Yeah. Jimmy will be giving out hand jobs here soon. So
was that part of the deal?
I think so.
Dang, man. I totally skipped over that fine print. But all right, fellas, line up. Just kidding. Anyway, all right. Well, today we've got to Ask Wolfie Anything here. And so what I've got a few fun questions here. One of them is this. So Eddie Smith on Facebook, he asked this one. He says, is there anyone you've looked up to that when you met them, you were disappointed? Kind of like the classic thing of don't meet your heroes. Is there anyone that really just disappointed you?
Let's think. I mean, I've said before, Shawn Michaels was kind of a dick, but he was a dick to everybody. But then he also kind of made it up to me, so I can't really say that. Dang, who's a dick? I'm trying to think of. I don't think there's anybody that I like looked up to that ended up being an asshole.
Right. Okay.
Assholes out there, but nobody that I, you know, was like, oh, I'm disappointed in that fucker. And I can't think of too many people that at least to my face, disliked me, you know?
That's good.
Did anything to anybody like that. So,
yeah,
man, I just can't think of, I mean, I remember, and I still to this day never really talked to the dude, but I remember Luger coming in to Memphis in like 93 and, to work Lawler in Nashville or something. And he, when he, At the time I kind of looked at it funny, but now I don't as much. But he really didn't speak to anybody in the dressing room, and he dressed with his back to everybody, and it just seemed very egotistical. But you know, hell, he was in Nashville at the fairgrounds in a little bitty dressing room. You know what I'm saying? He was probably going, "What the fuck am I doing here?"
Yeah, who signed me up for this?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't look at it as bad now, but yeah, I mean, there's, you know, it's wrestling, man. There's egos everywhere, and there's assholes everywhere, in all professions, all walks of life. But I can't say that there's anybody that I like looked up to, because we've talked 100 times about the people that I looked up to and my dealings with them or meeting them or whatever, and none of them's been bad. So I'll just go with nobody that I looked up to. Shitty answer.
No, it's not. Let me ask you this question, though, okay? Because you've said it. You've been very open about it. I know you were a Jerry the King Lawler fan growing up. Yeah. Did you also like Bill Dundee growing up?
Not too much. I mean, I didn't dislike it, but I really wasn't a fan. He wasn't
like a super fan. So, like, and again, you've been way open with this. We've heard it from Jamie, too. How did it feel when you found out, like, Bill was kind of trying to keep you out?
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. And then the whole, you know, obviously the whole knife thing. And then I've talked before, you know, we've made up and we're cool. The way he is now, I don't know if he knows we're cool, but he's, you know, yeah. Taking fun of it too. And it's not to be rude or anything, but, you know, he's, he made it up to me. So
yeah, well,
but yeah, it was kind of like, damn, why is he trying to fuck us? But then I figured out how he was, and he didn't want to lose a spot, you know?
Right. And anybody extra there that has some spark to them, maybe somebody he has to deal with down the line, you know? Yeah. And we're no way trying to cast aspersion on his name. You know, we know he's not doing well health-wise, mentally, unfortunately. And, you know, so we hope, you know, he is comfortable and doing okay. But, you know, again, Bill Dundee, great wrestler, you know, legend. But at the same time, you know, I've just known that story. And I just kind of curious about, you know, how that felt. And I'm sure it didn't feel good at the time. You're like, man, this big dog. But with the Luger thing, I've heard he even did that at NWA and WCW. I mean, you know, so other guys have said that many times, and these are guys that, you know, were with him at WCW and stuff. But anyway, Luger, you know, unfortunately is also not doing as great health wise, and it seems like he's made a complete face turn as far as things go. So
that'll humble your ass real quick on it.
life will definitely humble you. And if anything you've learned from any of our shows, life will humble you is a great one to learn. So, you know, don't anything you do on the way up, you're going to deal with on the way back down. So anyway, so Eddie, that was a good question. I love the question, and I think your answer is awesome. I, you know, unfortunately in the music industry, I've met a lot of guys that I looked up to and were total dicks. I don't really want to name names, but a lot of the lead singers in a lot of your favorite bands are just complete assholes, guys. So, you know, Aaron Lewis broke my heart. We were playing a show with Stained, and that broke my heart because, you know, the whole band was really cool and Stained, but Aaron just didn't want to deal with anybody. But, you know, other than that, you know, I can't really think of anybody I want to name else, but Aaron Lewis definitely let me down. But if you've seen some of his live shows, especially some of his acoustic live shows, he's not always the nicest guy, especially if you're talking during a song, which is just inevitable. And and that's just by the way, being a musician that played music actively in Nashville, you know, they are a talking crowd. They don't give a crap who's on stage. So, but anyway, I know that's not the question, and Eddie didn't ask me, but that was my little throw in there. But yeah, Aaron Lewis let me down. Let's just say that. Anyway, so our second question is Justin Cook from Facebook, and he just asked a simple question of any good Moondog stories.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there, but I mean, we all know Larry died in the ring in a battle royal. And from what I understand, people were still kicking him because they thought he was just selling in the corner like he always did.
Wow.
But he had a heart attack and he was pretty much dead. So that's kind of a messed up story.
Definitely.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm just saying that's kind of crazy. Well,
Yeah. You know, when I was trying to actively get Tony Falk to come on the show, and I would get him on the phone, I'd be like, brother, we need you on the show. Yeah, buddy, I got a lot of good stories. You know, Larry Latham died in the ring. I was there that night, and I know my Tony Falk's not the best. But what I mean by that is we didn't get to ask Tony that question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he had a story about that. I think Cassidy Riley was there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. Other than that, like, I mean, Cousin Junior was a Moondog, and the night that I drove down the railroad tracks because Jamie didn't come back with me to drive and all that stuff, he came outside and was taken up for Jamie because I was going off on Jamie for not coming back and lying to me and stuff. And of course, Junior comes out and he wants to fight me and all this. And I wasn't about to fight his big ass. Plus, I was hammered anyway. But
right.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. And then I remember at the Stadium Inn, Bill Smithson, one of the Moondogs, showed up one night with a buddy. I think they had just been out drinking, and he was like, hey, there's wrestling over here. Watch this. And so he comes in, and he comes to me. Hey, why don't you let me do something? And he never came back like the next week or nothing like that to work me, but I let him do it. I mean, and he'd been drinking and stuff, and he'd come out and jump me and beat me up. I mean, and it was just kind of like I said, told his buddy, hey, do some wrestling here, come on, I'll go do something, or, you know what I mean? It was just,
yeah,
I don't even get paid or nothing, he just felt like doing it, I guess. So that was kind of awkward. And then I do remember, I guess, the first time I worked Larry and probably Nathan, the big one, that me and Jamie worked them in Memphis, and, you know, working the Moondogs at that age, you know what you saw beforehand. So, you know, a little nerves or whatever, but nah, they were easy, man. Took care of us.
Yeah, that's cool. They're legends, man. I mean, no joke. That's a legendary tag team. We had some good stories there with the Wild Boys about them too. So anyway, yeah, the Moondogs, man, legendary. I just remember Gorilla Monsoon calling him Spotty, you know, Larry Latham. Oh, Spotty, you know, it was
Spotty.
Yeah, he would always call him Spotty. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, let's thank you, Justin, for the question. Thank you, Wolfie, for the Moondog stories. And the last question of the day, and I reserved a spot. I put my question in long ago, and I've brought it out today because it makes sense. So James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and all that has a question. And his question is, out of the 100 episodes, Wolfie D., which ones have been your favorite? What do you like?
Golly, I mean, shit, I don't even remember all 100 of them. I can't think. I'm serious, man. I sit back and I'm trying to think, like, okay, who all have we had? I mean, you know, aside from just the guests, that we've done some shows without guests and top 10. And then at the beginning, it was a lot of my career and stuff like that. Man, they've all been very good, man. And you know, the numbers have been good on everything. And, I mean, to get Steve Kern to come on was awesome. Didn't know if we was going to get that one to happen, and it did. And, you know, just some of the ones I've been able to pull off to get them to come on has been
Road Dog, humbling. Man.
Humbling, and you know these guys are not doing it for any other reason than as a favor to me, basically, or to promote something, you know. But most people that have come on really haven't done a ton of promoting for themselves. It's just been coming on talking shit with us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think about us 4 episodes in, we get Father James Mitchell.
Yeah.
We got to get him back sometime because I know there's so much more to tell there. 5 episodes in, we get the legendary Ricky Morton, my favorite wrestler of all time. I wish I could interview him now versus then because I'm just like, hey, man, I love you, Ricky.
A lot of the ones early on, too, we were trying to incorporate it into my story, and we didn't delve into them as much as we did, you know, hey, what do you remember about this and with me and in Memphis and da, da, da. And we didn't go 100% on, you know, let's just interview them, you know, we tried to record greatest. So some of those probably, I don't want to say could have been better, but it would have been different.
I think, well, the production could have been way better, but hey, I've learned a lot because, hey, here's the thing. I didn't know how to do a podcast when I asked you to do it. I literally had been thinking about having a podcast with you probably 3 years before I asked you and never pulled the trigger just because, man, I'm busy. I know he's probably busy and all that. Then I literally learn as I go. So I hope this episode is the best one ever because I've learned everything over the 100 episodes, how to do it. Now, if you come to me and say, hey, how do you do a podcast? I'm going to tell you my way. I'm not going to tell you the right way. I'm just going to tell you the way that I do it. If you think it sounds good, we thank you so much. It means the world. But I hope in 50 more that we sound even better because the production is very important to me. Now, again, you know, some of the greats we've had, Jerry the King, Lawler, Road Dogg, Steve Kern. I mean, I wish we could have Jerry. I hope we have Jerry again because to me, you know, when his health is better, hopefully we can talk to him again because, again, like you said, that was part of telling your story. But, you know, there's guys we've tried for 100 episodes to get on that we still haven't been able to get on. Everybody's heard those names. I'm not going to go into that, but eventually we'll get them. I feel confident. But like I said, Road Dogg, Steve Kern, those are some of my favorites. Of course, the Jamie episodes, you know, knowing that it took 67 episodes to get Jamie on here was kind of funny. But at the same time, you know, it just feels like, you know, it was something that had to happen because of your story and his being so tight together. But Steve Kern's definitely one of my favorites. Tony Falk is one of my favorites, you know. Jerry Calhoun was a really good episode. Yeah. You know, Kevin Lawler, man, I love that episode. It's actually number 9 all time. It pushed Randy Hales down to number 10. So, which is hilarious. If you know, you know, but you know, Kevin Lawler, I'm going to go over our top 10 here real quick of all time. So the number 1 is Jamie Dundee 1. Number 2 is Jamie Dundee Part 2. Tony Falk is number 3 all time on the list, brother. Yeah. Flash Flanagan is number 4. That's amazing, but I love that. You know, he's so important to your story as well.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake is number 5. Then we go back to the old schools because they've had 2 years to build up, which is like our very first episode's number 6, Wolfie D's Beginnings. Mm-hmm. Number 7 is Rise of PG-13, which is our second episode. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is Jerry Lawler. Obviously, that's going to be an important one for us. Number 9 is Kevin Lawler, which is just amazing. That's literally our most recent episode up until this one. Yeah. And then, of course, the Randy Hales from the Territories is number 10.
How far off is Kevin from surpassing his dad?
Very close. And 40.
The week's not over.
Right. 40
and
downloads.
He's almost passed him in a week. Yeah. Lawler's had 2 years. So
yeah. Yeah. And then you get into like Wolfie's 95 Part 1, Bruno, Steve Kern, Dr. Tom Pritchard, George Weingroff, Jerry Jarrett Tribute. Actually, you know what? Drake Younger's really high. It's a great one. And then the very first Randy Hales episode. And then, of course, Derek King, which I did want to give a special shout out to Derek. We love you. Our prayers are with you, brother. We hope things get better. So,
sure.
Yeah. Just again, thank you to the listeners. Thank you, Wolfie. These 100 episodes have been sometimes great and sometimes they were a battle to make happen, but we hopefully the end product never showed the struggle it took to get them there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So hopefully you as the listener never saw a sweat. Let's just say that. But I encourage you to go back in the archives. If you haven't listened to one episode, go check it out. See what you missed. You know, if there's somebody you've never heard of, that's the other thing. If you haven't heard of somebody, trust us. We're not going to bring on somebody that doesn't have a good story, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't at least tell a good story. And, you know.
True that.
I mean, we don't bring on goofs, right? Come on, man.
I don't think so.
We try not to, at least.
Yeah, if
we,
I try not to have goofs on.
Obviously, opinions are varying on that by other people, but we don't consider them that. So, but anyway, yeah, man, you know, I'm just glad to be here, man. Thank you again. And
for 100 episodes. So.
I know.
And number 101, you want to let the cat out of the bag on what we got in store?
It's so funny because number 101, he goes by Mr. Number 1. And his name is George South, and we're stoked about this one because, you know, Wolfie, I think you said this 50 episodes ago. He was like, man, we ought to get George on. How do we get in touch with him? Mm-hmm. And just, hey, everything lined up and fell in our lap, and I'm stoked about it. George is a great dude, a legend, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
he put over the Mulkeys.
He's been around, that's for sure. Done.
He has, man.
The business, man. Yeah. And we'll talk about. I got a kind of just like, of course, I've known who George is for years, but I really think I've only been on one or two shows with him, and one of them happened to be a benefit show for Dutch's. I guess it was his granddaughter. I can't remember the relationship. The little girl that got
killed by a drunk driver.
Yeah. So there was a show, ironically enough, in Maryville before I ever moved there. And I'll tell it to George, but just that's when I went, man, this dude could work. And it wasn't because of, he was doing 1,000 spots. It was something else, but we'll talk about it when we get George on. So anyway, that's what we got next week, guys. So I hope everybody tunes in. And again, thank you for listening to the 100th episode of Live and in Color with Wolfie D and Jimmy across the street, the man that makes it all happen. Puts a lot of work into this, and you know, he appreciates everything you guys do for us. We talked about the sharing and all that, so we appreciate it. And let's tune in next week and listen to George South.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
This is the Big Picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The Lunchbox, in this sport, he's gonna tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it, Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off,
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off,
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
If you're a fan of rock music, I'd really appreciate it if you took a moment to check out my podcast. It's called the Decibel Geek Podcast. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We talk about Kiss. We talk about Ozzy. We talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Metallica. We talk about all the legends from the 60s and on, up to brand new bands that you should be hearing about today that you're not going to hear on the radio. It's Decibel Geek. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us there. If you love rock and roll, I can almost guarantee you're going to love my show.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Don't rush your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.